Hello, hello. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and we are broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Welcome to Hate in Private. My name is Abril.
And I'm Tang.
And we are your hosts. This is a parody of a podcast that I run called Love in Public. This was actually Tang's idea to do this spoof, and it feels very off-brand for me to be doing this, but it's really fun to do it with somebody who's a self-identified hater.
Yeah, I love hating. I also love loving, but I think there needs to be a good balance of both in the world.
The duality of man.
I think so.
We want to make a quick disclaimer before we dive in that we are talking about hate in private, not as in hate speech or hate crimes. We're not condoning things like racism or homophobia or anything of that sort. We're talking about little everyday things that irritate, frustrate, and annoy us. The kinds of things that you talk about with your friends and debrief about after a long day.
Yeah, so we just want to let everyone know that we will be doing a segment at 1:25 where you can call in at this phone number. That's 604-454-4171.
If you need to note that down, it's 604-454-4171, and that will be after our ad break. We thought we would start by talking a little bit about a couple of things that we like to hate about. Tang, do you want to start with something that just gets on your nerves?
Sure. Well, where do I start? There's a long list of things. But I think one thing that annoys me, and I'm sure it annoys a lot of people in lectures, is people who ask questions that have been already addressed. And that can be whether stuff that are easy to find on the syllabus. It'll just take 1 second, go on Canvas, scroll down to the syllabus, just scroll through it, Command F or Control F, and you'll find the answer.
I didn't realize we were getting a tutorial.
Well, people need to know. Like, if you do that, I mean, I'm sorry I've been hating on you, but or people who stop Zoom lectures just to ask these questions are really easy to find. I find that, you know, we're all here. We paid a lot of money, UBC tuition, you know how it is, to listen to the professor, but now we're hearing questions that could be easily found. I don't know. That's a pet peeve of mine.
No, I think that's a valid pet peeve. Something that I love to hate about is bad hugging. I'm a hugger. I'm a lover. Actually, I'm not going to go on air and call myself a lover, but I do enjoy physical affection like the rest of us. And nothing irks me more than a stiff one-armed hug. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Mm. You know what it's like when you really need a good, warm bear hug, and then you get the hug equivalent of a limp handshake.
I think so. Although, in defense, I'm sometimes a one-hand limp hugger.
You know, I think they're, like, that's natural and that's valid. There are moments, and sometimes you're not in a situation where you want to be touched. You're not in a situation where you want to be smothered with love, and I get that. But on the whole, I think we need to be talking about what a good hug looks like. What does a good hug look like for you, Tang?
For me, my technique.
Oh, we're talking about technique.
Okay, sorry.
No. Get into it. Get into the nitty gritty.
Hugging 101. I think it depends on what the other person is going for. But for me, it's always safe to, if you're going for a full hug, one, like, two arms behind back and one, not your hands grasping each other behind, like clasping together.
I've never had a clasp. I've never had that.
But hold like one arm below, one arm above. And Abril, you can say their technique. You have the motherly squeeze.
Oh, you think I have a motherly squeeze?
You do have the motherly squeeze.
Sometimes I like to do a little, I wouldn't call it a rub, but a little, just a baby caress, you know?
Not the word caress on air.
I think we're allowed to say the word caress on air.
I think so.
I also think it's kind of nice when you're hugging somebody and they just hug you a little bit tighter. Mm. My aunt, shout out to my tia Alex, she does this thing and it roughly translates into English as squeezing out the tears. So when you're really sad, she'll envelop you in this hug and then you're crying, right? Mm. And she'll hug you a little bit harder and all of a sudden you're crying more.
That is so sweet.
Yeah.
You know me, I hate feeling my emotions. That would just make me sob.
See, the things that I find normal, Tang finds humiliating. For me, I cry on the bus at least once a week.
You'll never catch me slipping on a bus. I will look up, down, any direction possible to avoid crying on the bus.
Let's talk more about public spaces and things that we hate about. We recently went on a little trip to Seattle to see the 1975, and I feel like you had some strong feelings about concert etiquette.
I do. I feel like a lot of people have lost touch of what's socially acceptable to do at concerts or be at concerts. And at the 1975 concert, you know, people are on Hinge. It's fine. It's the 1975.
People are on Hinge. And I think Maddie Healy was adding to that.
I think so. But I think shoving is very unnecessary. There will, you know, shoving's natural. There might be some shoving. But shoving, like, to get to your friend, but then just stopping in the middle, like, not even to your, you're not at your destination. You're not even trying to get to your destination. You're just an inconvenience to everyone.
Maybe shoving is a pastime for some people. Maybe they enjoy it. Maybe it gives them a thrill.
You know what? Then do it. At wrestling practice. I don't know. Like
That's fair. I feel like there are places to channel that kind of energy, and
I think so.
A concert that people have been waiting months to see might not be the best place for that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am a waitress, and I feel like a lot of the time I will talk to you about things that bug me at work. And one of the things that really bugs me is when people are rude to wait staff or rude to janitors or anyone who's serving them.
Yeah, I hate
like,
that.
That ignites a rage in me like nothing else, Tang. Mm, and you've seen it.
Yeah, I think that's a first date red flag for sure.
Oh, absolutely. If you go on a date with somebody and I don't even care about tipping. Well, actually, I do care about tipping. One time I was tipped 1%. And in that situation, I'd much prefer for them not to tip me at all.
I think so.
Yeah. It's actually insulting. Don't press 1% or,
yeah.
You know, you actually have to go out of your way to change the percentage to 1%.
You're intentional with how rude you are.
Yeah. I don't care about tipping. I really don't. I think that tipping is something that varies from culture to culture. And who am I to judge? I'm just there to do my job and to talk to customers and have a good time and enjoy the live music. Mm-hmm. But I can't stand it when people are unnecessarily unkind to their hosts or their servers. And I also can't stand it when people make a big fat mess at the end of their meal and don't do anything about it. For me, a sign that someone has been educated, and I say this not educated in a formal education way, but educated in you are well-mannered and have similar values to the values that I was raised on, is if people busk at the end, where they put all their plates on top of one another and then put the napkins on top.
Yeah.
Ugh. That's a love in public moment.
I think that's what Asian mothers teach you to do.
100%.
Or like ethnic family
members. For sure. For sure. Whenever I think of restaurant experiences like that, I think about my Mexican mom asking if I could take the bread from the little bread bowl and her being like, yeah, of course. And I also think about her telling me, you know, stack all the cups and stack all the plates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's good. It's also kind of fun. You know,
yeah.
It's a good ritual, a little routine to end your meal, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's necessary.
I think it's necessary, too. I know that you also have some hateful feelings about escalator etiquette. I feel like a lot of your hatred revolves around the way, like the most efficient way of doing things. And
I think that's
reflective of the way that you are, Tang. I think you're someone who is wired for optimization.
Yeah, I am. I actually recently watched this video about this lawyer, and he was talking about a billionaire or like millionaire, not billionaire, sorry, millionaire, who describes herself as lazy. And I think I describe myself as lazy.
I think you're highly intelligent.
Thank you.
You're
girl.
Welcome.
But
and I said that on air.
Let's move on. But I think there needs to be some, you know, for the most efficiency, sometimes you just need a little order. And for me, one thing that icks me is when people stand on the wrong side of the escalator.
What is the right side?
The right side is whatever works in that culture. And it's usually whichever side that you drive on. So say...
Whoa, I didn't know it was related to that at all.
I think it is. Because it reflects on which side of the road you're standing.
Right.
So in North America, that would be on the right side because you drive on the right side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've been to Japan before and people would stand on the left side because that's where they drive. And so I just absolutely hate it when people are just like staggered. You know, staggering at concerts, love it. Staggering.
Yeah, you're right. Staggering at concerts means windows and everyone gets to see.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. But staggering on escalators, I hate that. Like, especially because I used to live in New York. Like, if people are rushing, people are pushing, you know how it is.
Yeah, people have places to go. Exactly. It's New York City, baby.
Yeah, and they're walking down the stairs. And just imagine having to, excuse me. Well, in New York, you don't say excuse me. You get shoved or you don't stand in the way. And so I think it's just the most efficient for everyone to stand on one side of the road. If anyone has to rush, you know, I don't walk on escalators. That's me. So I stand on the right side here.
Yeah, I'm here to have a good time. I'm not there to get places fast.
Yeah.
I enjoy public transit.
Yeah. But leave room for people who want to go. And that's for bus etiquette, too. Some people need to, you know, review
Let's talk about the 99. Let's talk about the 14. What's going wrong on the buses, Tang?
Oh, my God. Where are they again?
I'm trying to think of what goes wrong. For me, there's nothing that I would hate about except for sometimes when people spill and they don't clean up.
Although it's kind of hard sometimes if the bus is full.
And also, what if it's your stop next? I also shouldn't hate on that because I feel like I've definitely done that at least once.
I think if you apologize and feel bad, I think it's enough punishment for yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think so. But for bus etiquette, I absolutely hate it when people stand right next to the door when there's enough space for you to sit or stand anywhere else. I just absolutely hate that. And people who would like gather with their friends, like I get it, you want to stand next to your friends when you're on the bus, but if there's room to like sit or like be somewhere else, don't stand next to a door.
How do you feel about people taking phone conversations on the bus?
I'm fine with that.
I'm indifferent. I actually kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, there's been many a bro calls. A bro loves calling. Love in public, baby. But I've taken many phone calls from you on the bus, and I think it's fine as long as you're mindful of how loud you are.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Not like, I don't know, like swearing when they're kids.
Yeah, not swearing when they're kids. What I enjoy about it, and maybe I'm biased because I like to call people a lot, but I like it when people are calling on the bus, especially when it's a hard conversation or an argument, because I'm so invested.
I'm also very nosy.
I'm very nosy.
I agree with you.
Yeah, and if someone's going through a breakup on the bus, I was on the 4 the other day, and it was a very heated breakup, but I was only getting one side of the story. And so I had to imagine in my head. It's kind of like watching a movie with subtitles.
Yeah.
I guess I don't really know how it's like watching a movie with subtitles.
Well, I guess it's like watching a movie or reading a book from untrustworthy narrator.
Oh, yes. And it's also like when you're watching a movie without subtitles. You're watching a movie and in a different language, and you're having to guess between the lines what's going on just based off of the tone and the facial expressions of the actors.
Yeah. Or you're not watching the movie at all and you're just listening to it.
Yeah. Okay. So I do a fair amount of eavesdropping. Listen, if you're having a phone call on the bus, it's a little bit of an invitation in my mind.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's just like the "they were roommates" vine. You know what I'm talking about? Like, just,
no.
Oh. Well.
You explain it to me.
Okay. Well, it's a viral vine. I can't believe I'm explaining a viral vine video to you. It's this guy like sitting probably on a New York, like street in New York, and like a doorstep. And then this woman passes by on the phone. She's like, "and they were roommates." And the guy's like, "and they were roommates," and that's what went
That's viral. Incredible. I have a note on my notes app of things that I overhear in public, and maybe we should make a hate in private themed one of just hateful things people say that are so out of pocket you can't believe that they would say something like that. Yeah.
I agree.
Tang, something else that you and I have spoken about is poor conversational habits.
Ooh. Yeah. And we saw a book all about it, too.
What book did we see?
Remember when we went to the bookstore and we were flipping? You were like, select the person that you've encountered.
Oh, my gosh. Can you tell our listeners about that? We were at a bookstore. We were at Banyan Books on
West 4th.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we saw this book, and I don't even remember the title. I think you know better than I do, to be honest.
I think it was a psychology book about communication. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, but it had a list of kind of, I wouldn't say stereotypes, but categories of people that you would encounter, and just like bad, like, I don't know. How will you describe it?
Just different speaking habits, listening habits that aren't conducive to good empathetic conversation. Something that bugs me. Wow, that was really important. Something that bugs me is people who monopolize the conversation, where I think at a very young age, we learn the principle of turn taking.
I think so.
And yes, there are situations where someone has a lot to share and they're able to share about that for a prolonged period of time. Mm-hmm. But I like it when the default is everybody gets to talk and not one person talking all the time or cutting in and interrupting to make it to self-reference again and make it about themselves.
Yeah. And how funny is it that it's almost always men? How peculiar.
It's interesting because as a waitress, I am privy to a lot of first dates. And what I'll do is I will observe different people on dates. And sometimes I make a note in my mind of who is speaking every time I pass. And it makes me feel a little bit icky when every time I pass, it is always the male partner speaking.
Yeah. And we've been to a handful of, I feel like, educational, just like community facilitating events together here at UBC. And you would think people our age are pretty good about that. Although you might disagree if you've ever met any political science student. But
I've been in a fair share of poli-sci classes.
Yeah, but there was one event, like, even recently, where I felt like a guy, and I feel like a lot of women or, like, non-men are socialized, like, growing up to kind of listen and, like, sometimes passive, like, be passive in certain cultures.
Right.
So I feel like as women, like, sometimes you just wait until it's your turn, and this guy just butts in, and he, like, interrupts you and goes on, and then you wait again until he's done so you can continue. But it shouldn't be like that, and I don't like that.
Yeah. In cultural psychology, we do learn about how people who are socialized and as women, so women and femmes, that they tend to score higher on agreeableness as a trait, and that often means, like, making room for other people and trying to make a social interaction more pleasant. And it is a shame. I think that I would advocate for more turn-taking in society in general.
I think so. I'll pull a story straight from my part, where one time I was sharing in political science class and someone said, "You talk funny," when I was just talking about something relevant to the course.
Why do you think they said that to you?
I don't know. We've had a couple of guesses, but how about the audience take a guess?
Yeah, maybe the audience could take a guess. We will be hearing from the audience. To all of our lovely listeners, we are going to take a quick break, and after the break, we are going to be opening up our phone banks to take calls from you about the things that you love to hate. Tell us about the weird and wacky things that grate on your nerves and bother you like nothing else. Here's the number that you can call when we're back. Note it down if you'd like. It is 604-454-4171. That's 604-454-4171.
We're going to be playing a relevant song. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. This one came out when we were about 9 or 10. It was quite popular among the haters, like myself. So here's Forget You by CeeLo Green.
Enough. I'm like, forget you and forget her too. CITR is powered by Guayaquil Yerba Mate. Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaquil Mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaquil is more than just a Yerba Mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of Yerba Mate. Visit guayaquil.com, G-U-A-Y-A-K-I.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free Yerba Mate can.
The Helm Studios Subsidization Fund has been renewed for 2023. This means that Helm Studios is offering 40 hours of free studio time to 10 BIPOC or Two-Spirit LGBTQIA+ artists. Successful applicants will have support from Helm Studios staff with composition, recording, production, mixing, and more. Applications are now open until December 7th. For more information or to find the link to the application, you can go to Helm Studios Instagram at helm_studios.
And we're back. You are listening to Hate in Private on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm April.
And I'm Tang.
And we want to thank you for your patience. I may or may not be profusely sweating in the studio as we speak. This is my first time operating the soundboard, and it's exciting and terrifying.
Special, you're doing
great. Special shout out to Violet, who is listening in and letting me know when things are going a little bit wonky. Thank you so much, Violet. We are going to be opening it up to calls from you, our listeners, on things that you love to hate. So here is the phone number, 604-454-4171. I'm excited for our first call. And while we are not receiving calls, we are going to be talking about this list that Tang has. A list of things that she loves to hate. So we'll do that in the little intervals between. We got our first caller. Here we go. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Lyra, how's it going?
Good. Hi, everyone.
You are on air right now. This is my friend, Lyra Subroto.
This is so cool.
Hi, Lyra.
Lyra, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I've never woken up being so excited to talk about something that I hate.
Well, yay. You know what? There's an occasion for everything. What do you want to talk about us? What do you want to talk about with us today?
Okay, I want to talk about the way that, I'm a big foodie. I'm a really big foodie. I like to really mindfully eat my food. I hate it when I'm eating with someone and then they're trying to have a conversation with me. Like, that's for conversation time. Eating time is for eating. See, this is why I love eating with you, Abril. It feels like there's a mutual understanding that I'm not going to be talking to you for the next 10 minutes while I enjoy my food.
That's funny.
I feel like half of the time when Lyra and I are eating together, it's just moans. It's just vocal appreciation of the food that we're eating.
Lyra, I was wondering,
there's so much communication in that.
Lyra, I was wondering, Abril has been doing this thing, and I've experienced this during the Seattle trip. I wish I was joking when I said this, but she slurps out of excitement for food. Have you experienced this?
I'm not going to do it on air because I think it's humiliating, but yes, I do slurp.
And I've told my friends, and they're like, there's no way, that sounds fake, but, you know. Here we are.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Lyra, for calling in. I hope that you have a very anti-hateful day.
Thank you, bro. It's going to be a wonderful day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good luck,
bye.
Guys. Have fun.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.
And we've got our next caller calling in as well. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ari.
Am I live on the radio right now?
You are on CITR 101.9 FM as we speak. It's my brother, Ari Rivera.
Hello.
Hello, Vancouver.
Ari lives in LA, so he doesn't really... He's okay saying whatever on air, you know? Mm. You're not from these parts.
I'm ready to say what I hate.
Now, before we get started, I just want to tell the people, Ari also identifies as a hater, like you do, Tang.
I love that. I love that energy. We need more haters in the world.
Ari, what does being a hater mean to you?
Being a hater is just loving the hate, and that's all.
I feel like you're also someone who isn't easily impressed, and that's something that transfers to a lot of what you do, like just in the way that you bake bread and the way that you make music. Because you have a high standard for yourself and you like to hate, it actually improves the quality of what you produce. Would you agree with me?
I think I'm like, I just have like, I'm critical, you know? And like, I'm if I like something, I'm gonna make sure that it's like some good shit.
Yeah. Cool. So tell us, what do you love to hate?
Okay, so my thing is aggressive honkers.
Aggressive like, honkers.
Cars.
People who are on the road and they honk to yell at you instead of like, you know, like a gentle like, hey, maybe you should do this. They're like honking and holding the horn. Mm. Like, I always think you're using that energy to honk instead of actually maneuvering around the situation.
The problem is so fixable. The solution's right there.
Everything about this is preventable.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like you're about to get into a car crash, and instead of braking, you honk. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
That is funny.
It's
I
just
agree.
Not right.
Ari, you would hate it. I'm
it's
from Vietnam.
Right. And I think they should all...
I'm from Vietnam, and everyone honks. So...
I think he didn't catch that.
Oh, I was saying, Ari, I'm from Vietnam and everyone honks there. You would not last a second if you hate honking.
Oh, I probably would not.
So in your mind, what should a honk be used for? Let this be a PSA.
Like, it should be PSA, honking PSA. If you're at a red light and the person takes 10 seconds, you give them a little bit of time. Be courteous. Let them, you know, if they're like asleep or they're on their phone, give them a little honk, just a light one, you know, just a little tap on the shoulder And you know, you can tell a nice honk from a mean one.
Mm. In the tone, or
in the tone.
I don't know. I have that ability to discern between a nice, benevolent honk and something else.
You mean you don't speak cars?
Tang speaks cars. Tang speaks cars. Yeah.
There's like a beep, and there's like a beep.
I can hear the difference.
Whoa, that was really instructive. Thanks, sorry.
No worries.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Broski. Thanks for being with us and for calling it all the way from LA.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. All right. Have fun hating.
Take care. Oh, we got our next caller. Some technical difficulties, but we are calling our last caller back.
Okay.
Let's see if they answer.
Hope it's not a spam.
Hello?
Hello.
How are you?
Oh my gosh, it's my friend Jose.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. Okay, I have my thing I hate.
I didn't know this would be so popular. Jose, what do you love to hate?
AI art. Have you seen it?
I don't know what AI art is.
It's like a trend right now.
Explain, someone.
So basically, people are paying a lot of money for a computer to like render a lot of art with your face in it.
That sounds like a good thing.
See, the thing is, like, I talked to my roommate who does animation, like, for a living, and that's just, like, stealing all her, like, jobs, you know? Mm. So.
Yeah. I think so.
I guess so.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. AI is really popular right now. You can see the trends on Twitter. People are, like, creating their selfies using AI. It's kind of weird. I think it's kind of bizarre.
Yeah. I would like to believe that we live in a world where there are certain professions that will never be replaced by AI, but that's the reckless optimist in me.
Yes. Somehow this is all Elon's fault.
Yeah, it's definitely Elon Musk's fault. 100%.
This is actually an auto-generated voice. I'm not Jose. I'm just like an AI himself.
Well, AI Jose or real life Jose, thank you so much for calling in and telling us about something that just irks you and grates on your nerves. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Bye. Love.
Bye, take care. Okay. Right. I didn't realize that this would be such a popular segment. Our next caller. Whoa. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Tang, that sounds like you recognize his calling.
Yes, it's almost as if I know her. Hi, Valentina.
Hello, Tang.
All right. So tell us about something that you hate.
Well, like you guys, I love to hate, but I also love to love. So
you know what? You know what? I resonate with that.
Right?
Love to hate, just, love to love.
Good motto.
You gotta find a balance, but I love me a good, just, you know, shit talking session. It's just, yeah. But one of my favorite pet peeves is to shit on people I don't know, and I'm sure it'll come back around. I'm sure it has come back around to me, but. I travel a lot, and every time I see, you know, like, you got your travel fit, you got like your comfy sweats, you're not wearing any makeup, like,
right,
you're just a mess, you're stressed and you're rushing. I love to hate on people who look like they're about to go down a runway model.
Me too. Okay, maybe I am a hater.
Welcome, like, to the club.
We're all boarding this, you know, red eye flight for the next 7 hours. Who are you trying to impress?
That suit can't be comfortable.
For me, I'm in awe, but in hatred of the people who have a full face of makeup and they look perfect. They look like they have just gotten a blow dry done at the salon and they're wearing stilettos. I want to be them. I want to be them so badly.
I know. Like, you're making the rest of us look bad, okay? If you could just come down to our level, that would be great.
Some superiority complex going on? I don't know.
Absolutely, yeah. Fang. Absolutely.
I will say looking nice is the best way to get boosted into business class. So, I don't know. Whoa. Maybe they're buying into a scheme.
Oh,
wait, this explains a lot. Because I've never been promoted to business class, and I always show up to the airport in my pajamas.
I watched a YouTube video on it. You can learn a lot on YouTube.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Valentina. We really appreciate.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Right, take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, my gosh. So many callers, and we're getting our next call right now. Stay with us. I'm a little technologically impaired.
Just a few seconds.
Yeah. In the meantime, I want to intro the song that we'll be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here comes our caller. Hello.
Hello. Is this Hate in Private?
This is Hate in Private. Are you Ruby Raven?
I am.
Hello, Ruby.
Are we live?
We are. We're live on air. Tell us, what's something that you love to hate about?
I love to hate judgmental people. Is that ironic?
That is a bit ironic, I think.
Only slightly.
Only very.
I just really dislike when people impose their stupid, archaic beliefs upon other people. It literally drives me insane. Because it's like, what is so boring about your goddamn life that you need to go looking in other people's mundane business and form an opinion that is rather negative? You know what I mean? There's so much negativity in the world. Why? Look, you are creating negativity in me by being so negative. Okay? And that is just unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Because I am over here trying to live my life positively, trying to have empathy for others, trying to say, you know what? Maybe that's not my thing. But if you want to live your life that way, then you made that choice for a reason. And then some judgmental asshole walks in and is like, I bet there was no reason why they made that decision. I bet it was simply to irritate me. Oh my God, I'm being so loud right now. People are looking at me. I'm walking around.
It's almost like you're turning hate in private into hate in public, Ruby.
Hate in public. Oh my God, you're so right. See, look at what judgmental people are doing to me. They are making me hate in private, in public.
Hate breeds hate. You know what, Ruby? I couldn't agree with you more. And I hope that you have a day that's filled with nothing but love and awe and wisdom and wonder.
And no hate.
Thank you. And you know what? I just want to say one final thing. After having this rant and putting all this negative out into the world, I would like to send love to those judgmental people, because I find that those people have the hardest time judging themselves. So I want to send love and wisdom and empathy towards those people for themselves.
Preach.
Amen. Yeah. Retweet that.
Reblog.
All right, Ruby. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ruby. Talk soon. Bye.
Bye. Wow. So many wonderful, hateful offerings from our listeners, Tang.
I think so. Although, Ruby, I think there was kind of
an arc.
Hated on hating.
She hated on hating, and then she loved on loving. It was kind of meta. We were talking a little bit about how we were going to intro the next song. And this is a hateful song, I think. And it also happens to be one of our favorite songs to sing to and to blast. This is a song about someone going through a breakup. And I feel like heartbreak can breed hate. Yeah, I think heartbreak can breed hate. I don't think that's unfair to say. This is Scarlet by Holly Humberstone.
Hope you enjoy.
You said, darling, will we go the distance? In such blissful ignorance, couldn't hit more like a bolt from the blue. And hate me. If you're gonna hate me, just say it plainly with everything lately. I just need the truth.
Looking back.
We go together like bad British weather, and the one day I made plans. So go hell for leather, I know that it's out of my hands. Go ahead now. Cause I cried all the summer away. Ooh, you left me waiting on a heartbreak. I just cried all the summer away. Now I'm drunk and screaming your name. Ooh, and I will show myself out. Ooh, I know I adore you. I don't need you now.
I said, darling, go the distance. As I stood there pouring my heart out with you, just completely unfazed.
And you said, Scarlett, I don't need to be responsible for everything you're feeling. You're emotional grim reaper, I feel bad for you. I can't entertain these games. Hate to rain on your parade, it's just the way I'm feeling. It's just the way I'm feeling. Cause I cried all the summer.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or Grocery Checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek coffee today.
Join us every other Wednesday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. for Sam Squanch's Hideaway with your host, Anita B., as she plays all Canadian music with a focus on indie rock and pop.
And we're back. Tang and I have one bonus contribution, one listener who really wants to hate in private with us.
Let's hear.
Oops, I accidentally did a little something there that was not right.
Hello.
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 Hi, how's it going?
Oh my gosh, your audio is crisp. It's my cousin Frida.
Wait, my audio? What?
Your audio is crisp, Frida.
My audio what?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Amazing, we can hear you. I was just saying that you've got some very high quality audio today.
Thank you.
Tell us, what do you love to hate?
Well, so I'm originally from California. I'm on the East Coast right now for like just a period of time. And the thing is, when it gets cold here, but like not cold like in temperature, but like visually, like it looks cold outside, Everybody bundles up suddenly when I wear a dress outside, I'm a thotty. It makes no sense. Like, it's like whooping and hollering, and it's like, oh my God, like, why are you wearing a parka?
You know what? You're willing to brave the cold, and other people are judging you for it.
I'm wearing shorts.
It's not right.
Yeah, it's not. That's what I'm calling about. What do you have to say?
You know, I admire people like you because I'm trying to stay cozy 24/7, snug as a bug in a rug.
What grill is the people I'm talking about?
Wait, what do you mean?
No, I'm kidding.
Wait a minute. The roles are reversed. Now I'm getting hated.
No. This is horrible. You know, this is my first time on live television.
Frida, you're doing great. I hope that you have a day that is filled with nothing but...
shorts, dresses, tank tops.
Amen. That's what I want for you. I hope you have a stylish, loving day.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. I love you.
Love you too. Oh my gosh. Cute. My cousin just said I love you to me on live radio.
Now you get it tattooed.
Yeah. We are here, and we're going to be talking with our friend Halle, a UBC psych alumnus. She's here to talk to us about what we think is the biggest embodiment of hate in private, and that is gossip. I'm really excited to hear her thoughts. We're going to wait for her to call in.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Halle.
Hi. Am I on air?
You are on air. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I just finished work, and now I'm hiding in the back room.
Nothing like hiding in the back room.
Love the vibe.
I know. It's great.
Halle, I want to start off by asking you about what your relationship is to gossip or just hate in private in general.
I am a large supporter of both. I believe in gossiping and hating to my core. I think that gossip is generally looked down upon, and people, like, you know, people will be like, oh, like, this person's such a gossip, or like, oh, I don't want to talk anything bad about this. But I genuinely think that as I've grown older, I've realized that gossiping is normal and it's healthy, and sometimes you don't always need to confront someone over something they've done. Sometimes you just need to go to a trusted individual, let off some steam, and hopefully, like, that being one or two or maybe a few times will get it out of your system enough that you can walk away from that conversation and be like, all right, now I'm good. I got it all out.
Right.
I think gossiping in a smart way and in a somewhat, like, healthy way, I guess is the right word. I think it's a good idea, and I do it, and everyone gossips. I think some people want to say that they don't, but everyone really does.
That's a controversial take, though. Gossip is good. Gossip is awesome. Gossip is a good idea. And you're also up to date on the current literature surrounding gossip when it comes to the psychology of it. What does the research tell us, Halle?
Yeah, so I wasn't able to tune in, so I don't know if I was introduced at all, but I used to do a podcast with my co-host and friend Violet. We did a whole episode on gossip where I did hours of research scouring the internet, and I've taken courses before where we talked about gossip, and we don't really know exactly where gossip came from. Obviously, there's evolutionary theories. There's the classic, you know, women picking berries and talking about the group and trying to figure out, like, who's going to stay in the group and who's not going to stay in the group. But as of recent studies, a lot of research has come back to show that gossip is a really good indicator of who you feel closest to, who you feel intimate with. And it's a very natural part of the human experience. When we think about why we gossip, especially when we think about, you know, you and a friend talking about another friend that you're friends with, it may or may not be to, you know, suss out why this person is acting in a certain way, whether you want them to be in your group or not, or just like having a conversation. But that is the protection group. That is like number one in like psychology 101, why humans have become so powerful. Mm. We have really strong group dynamics, and your in group is someone that you want to trust and that you want to count on. So when you start thinking that maybe someone isn't doing that, having that communication with other people, it seems to be healthy. And you can see that in a lot of the different research articles. And you can see that there's not too many negative connotations when it comes to gossip. And again, it tends to show who you're intimate with and who you feel comfortable with. And it brings people closer. It brings people closer to talk about a quote-unquote common enemy.
It's so interesting that you tie gossip to intimacy, because my friend Tessa jokes that I have a hypothesis constantly, and what I'll do is I'll test out that hypothesis by asking friends different questions about it. And right now, the hypothesis or theme or motif is friendship bases. And we talk a lot about, you know, this really archaic idea of, oh, first base, second base, third base, fourth base in romantic or sexual relations, but we never really talk about it in friendship and like what for you is a new level unlocked of closeness in your friendship. And for me, when someone gossips to me and when someone tells me about any kind of interpersonal conflict they're having, that makes me feel a lot closer to them.
Mm. Oh yeah, hasn't everyone had that experience with a new friend where you're spending time with them, everything's good, and then at some point maybe there's a lull in the conversation or something gets brought up, and then you have someone look at you saying, okay, well, I don't want to sound mean, but that is, and I've had those experiences before, and you get, I guess excited isn't the right word for it, but it's kind of this gateway into this person's innermost thoughts. And that's, when someone gossips to me, that means that they trust me. That means that I'm a trusted individual for them. And I feel the same way to anyone that I'd be talking to. I feel like if I was to ever think, especially maybe like in high school when I was in big groups of people, you know, you're kind of trying to figure out if, you know, you have a problem with someone, who can you go to? Who can you talk to about that? And it's going to be the person that you feel at least somewhat close to. So I get that completely. It's kind of like the next step in your friendship.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, it's you, like both of you opening up your feelings, and you know, feelings no matter what, it can be quite intimate sharing it. And so I definitely agree with you, bro, about that being a step closer, because you know, like people talk, like sometimes share about their trauma, share about their happiness, and I think that's all part of friendships, sharing every part of yourself, mm-hmm. like authentically. So very love and publicly. Yeah.
Very love and publicly. Holly, thank you so much for sharing your insights and letting us into the world of gossip in a very scientific sense, and how helpful it is for us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, talk soon. Take care. All
right, bye.
All right, take care, you guys. Bye-bye.
Wow. Well, unfortunately, we are nearing the end of our hour together, and we just want to close with some serious thoughts about hate. I feel like there's a place for hatred and anger and frustration. I think that these are telling emotions, and there's a very bodily response, at least for me. When I hate something, I feel a heat, I feel tension, and that is instructive. Right. I think that it's a signal for me of what it, in a situation is going wrong, what's unfair, and these kinds of signals can help direct me towards how can I make this better, how can I treat others better, how can I make sure that I don't repeat hateful behavior.
Right.
And yeah, hopefully invoke some change.
Yeah, and you know what they say, in a doggy dog world, you either hate or get hated on.
This has been Hate in Private on CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you so much for tuning in and for holding space with us.
Thank you for listening. Yeah.